A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven,
in time
concentrate on
space.
Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights are probably gone.
So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 365. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about the nightmare worlds of H.G. Wells. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, so today we are talking about 4 short films based on supernatural stories by one of the founding fathers of science fiction, H.G. Wells himself. 4 25 or thereabout minute episodes, which were broadcast on Sky Arts in 2016, and an impressive cast and some of his lesser known tales, Brian.
Yes, and these are a little more in the horror or supernatural style rather than the science fiction that he's best known for. And it is tied together with narration, with someone portraying H.G. Wells himself.
Indeed, an interesting portrayal, which we will talk about as we go along.
Yes, so getting into the setup, we have H.G. Wells played by Ray Winstone, and he is talking directly to camera and telling us these stories, which we see dramatized.
He does indeed. It's almost as if H.G. Wells is sitting at his writing desk and turning away to address us and give us some of the introductions and some of the moral points of these stories. It's slightly strange. H.G. Wells literally talking to us out of the camera. Quite unusual, but that's how he sets off. And he takes us into the first story, which is called The Late Mr. Elvesham, which is possibly the story that people may have heard of, even if they haven't seen this series. It was the one I was sort of vaguely familiar with from H.G. Wells's canon. This is about a young, impoverished medical student struggling with his studies. He's approached by a very elderly and very respected scientist, Egbert Elvesham, who has a proposition for him, an unusual one at that, Brian.
Yes, he wants to make this student his heir and give him his fortune, but there are a number of physical tests and assessments that this young man will be subject to. And there is an odd medicinal powder or substance that both of them have to consume. And why would such a thing be part of this?
Yes, Mr. Elvesham is very particular about this particular medication or drug or ritual that goes with it. And all will be revealed as to why he's approached this young man. I should say that Luke Treadaway plays the student. And Michael Gambon himself turns up as Mr. Elvesham. I think we've touched upon him briefly because he played the narrator for the Greek myths part of the storyteller, which we haven't actually formally considered, but we talked about him a little bit. And you should also look out for a well-known Doctor Who fan, Paul Putner, playing the butler. You might remember him from way back on BBC Two's Doctor Who Night in 1999, that he turns up in the 2 comedy sketches with Mark Gatiss and David Walliams, and they were called The Pitch of Fear, which you might remember was about the sort of actual meeting to come up with the idea for Doctor Who, and then a spoof of Doctor Who itself called The Web of Caves, which were quite fun back then, although, you know, it's amazing that it's now nearly 22 years since they were broadcast, Brian.
Yes, and this is one of these, not the only one, that is based around the interactions and the relationship between 2 key characters.
Yes.
The Late Mr. Elvesham was broadcast on January 28th, 2016. The next story was The Devotee of Art, about a young artist working on a portrait of St. Catherine, which he hopes will be accepted for the Royal Academy. And as he strives for this artistic perfection that eludes him, his relationship with his wife is suffering because of it.
And he's spending more and more time pursuing this artistic ideal, painting St. Catherine, trying to get his artistic vision onto the canvas, until St. Catherine literally emerges from the oils and canvas in some rather impressive sort of makeup and special effects, I guess, Brian. And it all, again, it focuses on a sort of key relationship between a couple of characters. They're quite stripped down, these stories. I think they probably picked them for that reason, with just these key central relationships or rivalries between two characters.
Yes, and that really is a focus of these, some more than others, that you have a couple of key relationships that they focus on.
So the actor and folk singer Johnny Flynn, who I know best for writing and performing the theme tune to one of my favourite shows, Detectorists, plays the artist. Antonia Thomas plays his wife. Brian, before we recorded, you reminded me that we saw her in Misfits and in The Deep as well.
And she's also a singer as well, which is interesting.
Oh, right. Okay. And then Letitia Dollera plays St. Catherine. And so again, I think that's pretty much it. There's a cab driver at one point, but I don't think there's many others in terms of cast members in this one.
Yes, this one is actually one of the larger casts because it has three key characters.
Yes, they branched out a little bit.
The Devotee of Art was also broadcast on January 28th, 2016. So two of these on the same day.
Yes, and we're not quite sure why Sky Arts chose that option, but that's, I suppose, because they are quite short. So they broadcast them in two batches, didn't they?
Yes, that's right. So getting into our production notes, we have discussed H.G. Wells before. He lived from 1866 to 1946, and we went into more depth about him when we covered The Invisible Man. We've covered a couple of versions of The Invisible Man. Back in British Invaders 73 and 74, in 2010, we covered this 1950s version that was not so much about the novel as taking the idea of the character. And then in 2013, in British Invaders 147 and 148, we talked about a different version of The Invisible Man from the 1980s that was much more faithful to the novel. And we've also mentioned him with The First Man in the Moon when we covered that.
Yes, we have. So we have touched on H.G. Wells a few times now, and here we are back with him. Of course, incredibly prolific over his long career, noted for his, you know, literally genre-defining novels of science fiction. But of course, he also wrote lots of short stories, including some supernatural and ghosty-type stories, of which we've got a few here. And of course, you've mentioned his birth date there, Brian, because Sky Arts in particular wanted to note the 150th anniversary of H.G. Wells' birth in 2016. And we're looking to put on a production to sort of do justice to him, I guess.
Yes, that's right. I think that was what they were looking at. And there was a concept from Jed Mercurio for a television version of The Time Machine, which never came together, so that wasn't produced. But instead, they looked at doing some of these lesser-known short stories and put together this idea of the nightmare worlds of H.G. Wells, and it was produced for Sky Arts by Clerkenwell Films.
Yeah, a production company we know, again, for Misfits, which we've talked about, and also that John Hannah version of Jekyll and Hyde that we watched back in 2018, British Invaders episodes 289 and 90. And these stories adapted for the screen by a writer who we've come across before as well, Graham Duff. And most recently, we've been talking about him for co-creating Dr. Terrible's House of Horrible with Steve Coogan. He also did that radio series, which is slightly outside of our remit, but a series called Nebulous with Mark Gatiss as Professor Nebulous, a somewhat Quatermass-like figure in a slightly, again, spoof, satirical comedy show for the radio. But it's quite fun, I think, Brian.
Yes, Nebulous is definitely a fun one. Nick Briggs, voice of the Daleks on New Doctor Who, and of course, executive producer at Big Finish, was quite heavily involved in that as well. Duff himself also appears as Elvisham's personal doctor in the first episode. So he makes an appearance in his first episode, which is nice.
And I think he cropped up in one of the Dr. Terrible's House of Horribles stories as well. He does occasionally appear on screen as well as writing.
Okay, nice. The four episodes were all directed by Adrian Sheargold, who has a long television career with stints on Inspector Morse and A Touch of Frost and Vera, but not much in the way of genre credits. He's mostly been on working on other things.
He does have the one credit that we noted in his IMDb page, which was, of course, that he started as an actor in the 1970s before turning to directing, and includes a screen credit as an actor for Star Maidens. But you can imagine why people might want to forget that one, Brian.
Yes, I don't think that's one that people tend to put up front and center.
No. So Sheargold, he gets this look of the Edwardian Gentleman's Club for a lot of the sets. We should say the sets are all fairly limited and stripped down, filmed at the West London Film Studios. He uses some interesting, I think, camera tricks and distortions, a fisheye lens from time to time, blurs the edges of scenes and gives the whole production a slightly, partly the feeling of that you're watching the filming of a theatre production, but also in places a hallucinogenic feel to it, which is quite appropriate for a couple of the stories we're going to come to next time. But also, I think, some of the stuff that we've mentioned the first two stories as well.
Yes, it certainly has a bit of a dreamlike kind of quality to it. Duff and Sheargold were also keen to use contemporary music for the episodes, to not do a period type of thing with the music, but to have it feel much more modern.
Yeah, so we've got period costumes, period sets, but we have Damon Reese from Massive Attack, no less, and Elizabeth Fraser from the Cocteau Twins band coming together to write this contemporary score for this series. And I quite like it. We'll talk about it next time, but quite an interesting feel with what's going on screen.
Yes, it does change the tone for sure. There were some computer graphics, some CGI moments that especially were there in The Moth, which we'll talk about next time. Limited use. They didn't overuse the computer graphics by any means, but they did have some there, and I think it was effective.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it looks pretty good, actually. I mean, it's, what, 4 or 5 years ago now, so I suppose it would be. But it works quite well.
Yes, it was used where needed, but they held back on it a little bit, I think, which is good. The four episodes were broadcast on Sky Arts on January 28th, 2016, and on February 4th, 2016.
Yeah, as we said, these two batches of two, unusual, but there you go. That's how they were broadcast. So let's turn to the availability. How can you watch this series? Well, in Region 2, it was on Amazon Prime for a while, but you can get it now. You have to pay for it on streaming, and it's about £5 for the four episodes in total. There is a DVD version as well, which is about a tenner. No extras on either version at all, unfortunately. Nothing about H.G. Wells or about the production. It's all very stripped down over here, but it is readily available. Over in Region 1, Brian?
In Region 1, there is no DVD release, but it does show up on various streaming services from time to time. It was, I know, here in Canada, at one point it was available on Hoopla, which is a service that many people can get for free through their local libraries. but it's no longer there now. But it does show up on things from time to time. So if you check your various streaming services, you might see it available.
And you can find the stories themselves online, I think, Brian, now that it's all public domain.
Yes, H.G. Wells, I believe, is public domain in most countries at this point. So finding those is not difficult. So next time, we will look at the other two stories, and we will talk about how this compared with some of the other H.G. Wells adaptations we've covered at different times.
Yes, we'll touch on those next time, plus give you our review and recommendation of this series and whether you should invest in it yourself.
Absolutely. And until then, you can find all of our episodes on BritishInvaders.com, or if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group, and we have lots of fun discussion going on there.
And the British Invaders podcast is a member of the Voice of Geeks Network, which you'll find at VogueNetwork.com. There's some other shows there. They've got live streaming of various video game stuff. Lots of interesting stuff happening at VogueNetwork.com.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, Eamon in England also signing off.